In the name of Jesus, amen. So we get a unique opportunity this morning as the Sunrise Easter Gospel, John 20, 1 through 18, now continues on this Easter morn, John 20, 19 through 23. And this Gospel occurs in the late evening on Sunday. So it's late in the day. And darkness is filling the earth, and shadows lengthen as thoughts of dread fill the disciples' hearts. Their fear is quite understandable. Just think about it. Just days before, they had seen horrors beyond imagining. It's easy to condemn their fear when you know the end of the story. But they didn't. All they had seen was a bloody crucifixion. All they knew was that Jesus was dead, that he was buried, and that he was seemingly gone. They were fearful sheep without a shepherd. And so, naturally, they locked the doors, for the wolves were coming for them. Now, Jesus couldn't have made a grander entrance. He outdoes all the Hallmark could ever do with engineering of their greeting cards, even the ones with those moving parts and lights and perfectly timed snippets of music. For all the disciples, Peter's expression at the sight of his Lord must have been priceless. After denying him three times only to see him resurrected from the dead, I'm sure surprise and relief must have swelled in his heart together. Jesus was well aware of their faithlessness, that they all ran when it got difficult, and that they were cowardly in their actions. He knows their weak and wayward flesh, sheep gone astray when the shepherd is crucified. He knows our tendency to flee at the first sign of suffering, to deny the things that we have promised, and to hide in the false comforts of the flesh and the hollow peace of this world. In the face of this, however, Jesus still speaks. And his love is in his speaking, in his voice. For he does not speak a reprimand, nor does he rehash the past. All he says is, "Peace be with you." In all the pain and the confusion of their lives, his antidote, his healing medicine, is his voice. A simple yet eternally gifted word. Peace. The Lamb's peace is not as the world gives peace, but this peace which is intimately tied to his wounds. For when Jesus speaks, he shows them the visible signs of his peace, his marks of crucifixion. He is the Lamb who died. He is the Lamb who is risen, and he is the Lamb who gives rest in and by the marks that drip this salvation into beggarly mouths and upon fearful lips. For while the world had rejoiced in quelling a supposed political and religious revolt, the disciples mourned and hid in the shadows. But now all of that is completely reversed. Now the world stands judged and condemned, while the disciples are overjoyed to see their Christ, their salvation, and take comfort in the foretelling words of Jesus long before the sun fell on that frightful Easter Eve. For Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take this joy from you." This joy, it's not in your heart, but it's in the hands and side of Jesus. That is where joy is found, in the marks of his passion and death. The marks of his rest for you. It is no wonder then that your pastor faces you with the consecrated bread and wine and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." Here your pastor shows you the same body and blood that once stood before the disciples so long ago. The same joy that was deflated, that fearful Easter Eve, now comes inflated to you on this joyous Easter morn. The Lamb which is risen, the Lamb giving you His rest by His wounds of His passion and His death. And that is not all the peace. There is still more peace. Peace to be spoken, peace to be given to all the inhabitants of the earth. For just as the Father sent His Son, so now the Son sends His servants, ordained with His authority, His voice in their mouth, His scars on their bodies. We call this the office of the holy ministry. For this office is never to be seen apart from Christ, apart from the one who sends. The office is given by Christ to men. It is never an office which men seek of their own will. Notice that the apostles, literally apostolos, sent ones, were not self-sent, but they were directly sent by Christ, who says, "So also I send you." Now granted, in our time, this call is now mediated and confirmed by the bride of Christ, the church, calling unto her bridegroom to speak peace to her, to tell her that her sins are forgiven, to tell her that she can now rest, for her warfare is now over. And though it is mediated through human means, it is still a divine call, a divine sending. It's divine because it emanates from the Holy Trinity, from the Father who sent His Son, who then the Son sends His servants, His apostles. For the sending has one purpose and one purpose only: to bring the audible word and fleshly reality of the peace of the Lord to restless sinners. And so this peace of the Lord is carried forth in the breath of those men who are sent in the name and authority of Christ. That is why we extend the Lamb's high feast, the victory of our Lord over sin and death. The church's Easter day continues long after all the solid chocolate bunnies have been consumed, if you so like them, which you probably don't, all the marshmallowy peeps swallowed, and all those other contemptible sugary carbs that make your taste buds tingle and your waistlines expand. They do. But for 40 days, that is not the focus, nor should it ever be. The focus stands right there, the Paschal candle. That is the emblem of the risen Christ. It's the bright flame that recalls those 40 extraordinary days that the astonished disciples lived with their resurrected Lord, seeing Him with their own eyes, touching and handling His living flesh, and eating and drinking with Him after He had risen from His grave, and listening to His life-giving and death-destroying Word of God with their ears. And after Ascension Day, you will see that the candle does not go away. It takes up residence near the baptismal font, where it stands as a perpetual reality of the risen Christ. For Jesus is not dead and gone. He's not like some departed hero, leaving you some sort of memorial to remember Him. No, He lives eternally at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He intercedes for you and prays for you, His church, His little lambs. For all the Sundays from now until the Ascension Day are not labeled Sundays after Easter, but rather Sundays of Easter. So for the next 40 days, you can go around telling people Happy Easter. Because in this Easter season, you celebrate an undiminished joy of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Because the Lord knows that there is much in the world to rob you of your joy, to divorce you from trusting the only one who can be trusted, that is Jesus Christ. There are private and public perils. There are political campaigns with a quagmire of promises and lies. There is the truth that is buried in spin and political correctness. There is fear and uncertainty that grip the nations of the earth. Terrorist attacks send shockwaves throughout the lands, and wars echo around the globe. Illness, hardship, distress of body and soul, all of these things and more rob us of the peace and joy that Christ comes to give. It makes us wonder, even doubt, the peace that Christ comes to give. Yet Christ, God, He died. Yet Christ, God, He lives. That is Holy Week. That is the visible marks of death and resurrection. That is the visible mark of death which is swallowed up and engraved on His living flesh and bone. For Easter and all that goes into it, that is including Good Friday and Holy Thursday, there's no figment of pious imagination here. There's no abstract concept of good triumphing over evil and no fond ambitious hopes for the betterment of human mankind. The incarnate Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and who has been raised by the Father, He, that very one, stood before the disciples. Behold, the eternal God made man, infinite into the finite, and the finite capable of the infinite. Behold the ever-living man, for all dying and dead men. Life has triumphed over death. Death has lost its teeth. It can scowl, it can glare, it can frighten, but it cannot bite. It's toothless. All it is gums. For the sting of death is gone. For all sin has been removed by Christ, the Lamb who bears your sins away, and the Lamb who gives you peace and rest. And so, as we noted last evening, in the Lamb there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The author to the Hebrews reminds us, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. We hear it so often, peace be with you. But do not mistake, this is no pious wish. This is no opiate to make you happy for a time and a feeling that wears thin. It is, as we say, a performative word. It does what it says and it says what it does. In the worded cradle of the Holy Scriptures lies the gift of peace. For the bread is peace, because it is His body. The wine is peace, because it is His blood. Yes, we daily live and breathe in a most arduous battlefield. We struggle with so many things, both physical and emotional. The Lord knows this. He feels this. He bears this burden all. And He gives you this peace that is within. A peace that passes all human understanding. A peace that not even the jaws of death and the terrors of hell can take away from you. For this is our shield and our protection, our bulwark and defense against all threats and all that causes us great fear. This peace in the Word, in the body, and the blood of Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, says the risen Lord. I do not give as the world gives. How do you give then, Jesus? Well, I give as I give. That is where you come in. For left to yourself, this world has nothing to give. No peace whatsoever. Left to yourself, you have only worry and fear to contend with, but also hurt and loss coupled with multiple doses of shame, failure, and guilt. In other words, left to yourself, you are a mess. This is all true. But what is the greater truth is what overcomes this is that all that is rotten, all that is bad, all that is evil that fell from our first parents' disobedience in the garden is this lamb. This lamb that is promised, who is sacrificed, and who is now given. For the lamb was there in the beginning. The lamb is here now, as he is the high feast of which we eat and drink. And he will be there in the end to raise us from our graves, that he is sanctified by his blood. There's one thing you must really understand. An energetic man can go really far. Especially a young guy like me. But no matter how energetic I am, no matter how idealistic I am, that I want to change the world as far as religion is concerned and do all these wonderful things in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity, there's one thing that this energetic man cannot do, that no man can do. And that is lead the lacerated soul forward to Christ, to his peace and the forgiveness of sins. But this is why Christ established his church. This is why he sent out his apostles, his called and ordained servants of the word. If this doesn't happen, the church has not justified her existence. But thankfully, the church has been justified by her lamb, and in being justified, she is the birthplace, the mouth house of all Christian life, teaching, hope, peace, and eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.